Good morning. We're on Sadi Beis of an Aleph in the Ein Yakum of Oar on page Samech, letter Mem Zayin. I'm Rabbi Tavi, I'm Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Tavi said, Name Rabbi Yoshia, My Dichtiv, Sheol Otzer Racham, Eretz Losav Amayim. Pasuk in Mishle says, The grave, Sheol is the grave, the sealed womb, Otzer Racham, the sealed womb, and the land unsated with water. V'chima inyan she'ol etzal rachem. What does the grave have to do with the womb? Elo amar lecha ma racham machnisim otzi. Just as the womb takes things in and gives and puts things out, af she'ol machnisim otzi. So too, the grave takes things in and puts things out. V'lo dreim kavachomer, and it's a kavachomer. The womb, which takes things in secret, when a woman conceives, it's done in secret. But when the baby's born, it's with lots of publicity. The grave, which takes in with publicity, the Levaya, lots of people, publicity. In Odin, certainly when it gives up what it has inside, it will be with lots of publicity. This is a response to those who say there's no Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, meaning broadly Tanakh. This is the last of the proofs that the Gemara will bring that Tchias HaMesim is alluded to in the Torah. So I want to address two things today, time permitting. First, turn all the way back to the beginning of the parak. Page Aleph. Said, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. All of Yisrael has a portion in Olam Haba. And then on page Bet, it says, Ve'elu she'ein lehem Chelek Olam Haba. The following don't have a portion in Olam Haba. Omer ein chatam etim in atras. Someone who says there's no Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. And Rashi says, if you look at Rashi right there on page Bet, Hachi Garcinan, Haomer Ain Chatamitim and Atarat, Shekofer Bimidrashim, the Drashim of Gemara Lakaman. Someone who denies the Drashos that the Gemara will bring later, Minayin Chatamitim and Atarat, which say, Where is Chesamesim in the Torah? And it brings various Drashos. Bafilo Yehe Mode Umamin Shechyometim. Even if he acknowledges that there will be Chesamesim, Ela Delo Remisa Baraitza, but he says that it's not alluded to in the Torah, Koferhu. He is a heretic. He's denying the truth. If he says, I believe in Tchias HaMesim, but I don't believe that Tchias HaMesim is in the Torah, what do we need his belief for? Okay. What we need is for him to believe it's in the Torah, not for him to say, I believe. How does he know if it's not from the Torah? Helkach kofer gamur, who therefore he is a complete heretic. Question is, so Rashi is saying that it's not enough to believe in Tchias HaMesim. Who cares if you believe in Tchias HaMesim? You have to believe that Tchias HaMesim is in the Torah. The question is, why? What's so important? We don't say you have to believe that Mashiach is in the Torah. You have to believe that Mashiach is going to come. You have to believe that that God gave the Torah. You have to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is a great Navi, the greatest Navi. It doesn't say you have to believe that it says in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi, or that it says in the Torah that Mashiach will come. Why is it so important to believe that, believe that it's Tchias HaMesim is in the Torah? So, Rav Moshe Shapiro, that's all. Sefer Re'e Emunah. Shir Lametet, starting on page Shin Mem Hei, addresses this. And he, so he asked the question that we just asked. And he points out that in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim in Shemoneh Esrei, we refer several times to emunah. We say, "Kayem emunatol yishnei afar." Hashem keeps his emunah, keeps his faith to those who are sleeping in the dirt, referring to Tchias HaMesim, those who are sleeping in the dirt, those who passed away. Hashem keeps his faith to them. And then at the end of the bracha, we say, "V'ne'emana talach yameitim." You are ne'eman. You are trustworthy. We believe that you will bring back the dead. Okay. There's clearly a connection between Tchias HaMesim itself and emuna. We don't say in the bracha Baruch Aleinu, "You are ne'eman to sustain us. You are ne'eman to forgive us." We don't say that. Clearly, a connection between Tchias HaMesim and emuna. So he refers to Gemara that we did on page. It's on Sadi Aleph on Aleph, and here it's on page. Chav Gimel, letter Yud Aleph. Amar le hahu mina or hahu tzeduki legevia ben pesisa. A tzeduki said to Gevia ben pesisa, "Oy lachon chayava, woe to you, you wicked people, tamritu mete chayin. You believe that you say that the dead will come to life. The chayin mete, those who are alive will die. The mete chayin, those who are dead will come to life." Amar lei, and Gevia ben pesisa responded, "Oy lachon chayava, woe to you, wicked people. Tamritu mete lo chayin. You say the dead will not come to life. The lo havu chaye, those who have not yet existed will live. The havu lo kolshkein, those who already existed certainly will live." So, what exactly is this discussion here? So, Rav Moshe Shapiro says that the min is saying, look at the world. The world clearly goes from a state of existence to non-existence. The world is people exist and then people will die. And that's the destiny of the world. The world has no future. It's just, we're here today, we're gone tomorrow. That's it. Gevia ben pesisa says, no, we have a different viewpoint about the whole world. We don't focus on what's here now, which is not going to be here tomorrow. We're focused on the future, what's not here yet, which will be here, which will be here in the future. Because we believe there's something bigger yet to come. And that's alluded to as well in the Gemara that we just read, where it says you can learn Tchias HaMesim from the process of birth. Okay. If the womb, which takes things in, gives things out, okay, then certainly the grave. What do you mean certainly? Okay. Because the process of birth is a mashal for the future, for the development that will take place in the future, and that there are greater things yet to come. And why is it that there are greater things yet to come? So he explains. Pasuk says in Hazinu, "Hatzur tamim paolo ki chol drachav mishpat kel emunah ve'ein avel." Refers to Hashem as the creator, Hatzur, the one who formed everything. He's the creator. He's a kel emunah. he's a god of emunah. And Medrash says, kel emunah sheh'emin b'olam u'bra'o. Hashem expressed his faith in the world when he created it. Okay. Hashem created the world with great potential. Hashem believes in the world. If Hashem didn't believe in the world, there were angels saying, don't create this world. Those people, they're going to be terrible people and just mess things up. Why bother? No, Hashem expressed his belief, his faith in the world. He said, no, I'm going to create the world and it's going to turn out good. And people are going to turn out good. So the creation of the world itself was an expression of emuna. Now the Zohar says that Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world. Like an architect looks at the plans, builds the building, or the builder builds the building. Why does Hashem have faith in the world? Why does Hashem believe the world will turn out okay? Because of the Torah. Because we have the Torah to direct us. We'll follow the Torah, and everything will turn out okay. And that's the difference between the min, who thinks that the world is headed for an ignominious end, if it's ignominious, whatever the word is, a bad end, and the and Gvia ben Psisa, who believes the world is headed for a glorious ending. Because if you have the Torah, then the world, and you have the Torah, and you have emuna, the Hashem created the world with emuna, he implanted emuna in the world, in the Torah, in us, right? And if you have that emuna, and you have the Torah, then there will be a happy ending. And if you don't, then there won't be a happy ending. So that is why Tchiyas HaMeisim, specifically, we're not just called upon to believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim. We're called upon to believe that Tchiyas HaMeisim is alluded to in the Torah. Tchiyas HaMeisim is that happy ending. That's Olam Haba. That's the perfect world that's coming. Okay. And it's only because it's in the Torah, it's only because Hashem designed the world that way that Hashem created the world with his own faith, so to speak. Hashem said, I believe in the world because the Torah will lead to a good ending. So Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's why Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's not enough to believe. I believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, because if you just believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, there won't be Tchiyas HaMeisim, there won't be a happy ending. It's only if you believe that in Tchiyas HaMeisim, in the Torah, if you believe that the Torah is the power that will lead to Tchiyas HaMeisim, or the source of our power to bring about a world, it says in Maseilas Yesharim, the last step if a person would perfectly implement all of Maseilas Yesharim, it would lead to Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's the power that we have through the Torah, and that's why it's necessary not only to believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, but to believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim min haTorah. So that is the explanation of Rav Moshe Shapiro on that Rashi and on all the Gemaras that we've now completed about where do we find Tchiyas HaMeisim alluded to in the Torah. A separate question is, maybe now is a greater question. So if it's so important to believe that Tchiyas HaMeisim is in the Torah, why isn't Tchiyas HaMeisim mentioned explicitly in the Torah? Why is it kept a secret? So we already saw one answer in an earlier shiur, which I will mention again. It's a Rambam. Now you have to keep in mind that there is a... The Rambam holds Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are two separate things. Almost everyone else holds Tchiyas HaMeisim and Olam Haba are the same thing. So asking why isn't Tchiyas HaMeisim mentioned explicitly in the Torah is the same as asking why isn't Olam Haba mentioned explicitly in the Torah. The Rambam holds they're different things, and he asks the question specifically, why is Tchiyas HaMeisim not mentioned in the Torah? In Mamar Tchiyas HaMeisim, in Rav Kapach's edition, it's in section Tet. And he says that the generation that was taken out of Mitzrayim had to be trained slowly. They were living in a foreign environment with foreign ideas. Shem essentially, you know, one step at a time. First, I have to teach them to believe in Nevuah. Then I have to give them the Torah. Then I have to wean them of Avodah Zarah and some of their other foreign beliefs that they have. And if I just, you know, spring on them this idea of Tchias HaMesim, it's like, hold on, God, you know, that's asking a little bit much for me to believe in this Tchias HaMesim thing. So Hashem has to spring it on them slowly. And oh, many generations later, in the time of the Nevi'im, they were ready to learn about Tchias HaMesim, but they weren't quite ready yet at the time that the Torah was given. It's the Rambam's approach. It's consistent with his approach to lots of other things, like the idea of korbanos. The Rambam says, really, God doesn't care for korbanos, but he couldn't just tell the people that he took out of Mitzrayim, okay, no more korbanos. He had to tell them, instead of bringing korbanos to Avodah Zarah, bring korbanos to me. And in later generations, in the time of the Nevi'im, Hashem could say, korbanos is not the greatest thing. That's the Rambam's very rationalistic approach to many of these types of issues. Maral asks the question, why isn't Olam Haba mentioned in Torah? And as I said, according to most people, Olam Haba is synonymous with Tchias HaMesim, so that would be the same as asking why isn't Tchias HaMesim mentioned in Torah. At the very beginning of the Sefer Gvuros Hashem, and the Maral says, he mentions Gemara Bava Basra, Chacham Adif Mi Navi. A wise man is greater than a Navi. In what respect is a wise man greater than a Navi? A Navi is a person who sees. A wise man is a person who can, a wise man can grasp things that he can't see. And he can conceptualize. He can harness his imagination beyond what he could actually see. But a Navi can only describe as a Navi things that he can see. Olam Haba is something that we cannot see. It is a totally different set of concepts than we have now. We cannot visualize it. If we cannot visualize it, a Navi cannot speak about it. Because a Navi is called a Chose, a Ro'eh. Those are synonyms for Navi. One who sees, one who visualizes. Can't see it, can't visualize it, can't talk about it. So therefore, Olam Haba cannot be mentioned, cannot be described in Tanakh. Because Tanakh is the book of Nevi'im, books of the Nevi'im. And so therefore, it cannot be imagined. Chazal can talk about it, and Midrashim, Maras can talk about it, because that's not based on Nevuah. That's based on wisdom, and based on our ability to use our wisdom to describe and to imagine, to visual, to conceptualize things that we cannot otherwise see. The Maral, at the very beginning of Sefer Gvuros Hashem. He gives a second answer, which is that the Torah only speaks of reward and punishment. Okay. Olam Haba is not in the same sense reward and punishment. Reward and punishment is something that there is no logical connection. Okay. You keep my mitzvahs, it will rain. Why should it rain if I keep the mitzvahs? Doesn't seem necessarily logical. What? That's what Hashem said. You keep my mitzvahs, it will rain. Okay. Olam Haba is different. It is reward for mitzvahs, but it's different. Hashem created Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Okay. Olam Haba already exists. either as a place or as a time in history. We just have to get there. So the Torah, in fact, does allude to Olam Haba, it says, in the context of several mitzvos. Keep these mitzvos, you'll live a long life. If you live a long enough life, you'll live past Olam Hazeh into Olam Haba. So you'll get there. The Torah doesn't have to tell us that, other than just say, if you keep the mitzvos, you'll live a long life, because we know you'll get there. Now, we still have difficulty visualizing exactly, are these two different periods of time? Are they two different places that are in parallel?
And it seems that a long life is a reward that we want, as opposed to going to Shemayim, whatever that means, or whatever, quicker.
So that's a good, interesting point, which the Kuzari discusses. I was going to mention that. I will mention that shortly. The king, Kuzari is a discussion between the king of the Khazars and the Jewish wise man. And the king of the Khazars says that the Goyim seem to have a better description of the world to come than you Jews do. You know, they can tell you, all these flowery things about the goodies that are waiting, and you Jews don't have any. You tell me there's Olam Haba, but you don't describe it. And the Kuzari responds, if they believe so much in their Olam Haba, how come they're not in a rush to get there? Right? Nobody seems to want to die and hurry to Olam Haba, okay? Because our place is in this world.
We have exceptions to that today.
That's true. That's true. That is true. But our place is in this world. And so I don't know that when he says long life, it means, you know, you need to live X number of years, because clearly people live different numbers of years, and they you know, we'll get to Olam Haba too. But what he's saying is that Olam Haba is a sort of the natural extension of Olam Hazeh. And you just have to follow the right path and you'll get there. Therefore, the Torah doesn't need to speak much about it. The Torah needs to speak about rewards that are not logical cause and effect. Do this, it will rain. Do this, your enemies won't bother you. That kind of thing. So that is the second explanation of the Maral. Rabbi Lubyansky, in his footnotes, to his edition of the Maral, he says, we need to see how to reconcile this with the Nefesh HaChayim, which in Shar Aleph Perek Yud Beis, which we've mentioned here several times, including yesterday, Nefesh HaChayim says that the Olam Haba is not a place that Hashem created. It's something we create through our mitzvos. The light of our mitzvos is Olam Haba. Seems to be different than what the Maral says. So Rav Moshe Shapiro, again, printed in the journal Yeshurun. I didn't bring it. I forget what volume is, but it's pretty recent. One of the last two editions of the journal Yeshurun. There's an article there about this, and he essentially says that Hashem created clearly the concept of Olam Haba in parallel with Olam Hazeh, and Rav Chaim Volozhin just means we need to fill it. It's not that the reward is there waiting. The place is there, or the time, however you understand Olam Haba, as a place or a time. The concept is there. Hashem created the concept, and our job, the Maral is saying, is just to follow the path that leads to there. What's there? On that, Rav Chaim Volozhin is saying, it's our job to fill it, to furnish it. It's an empty apartment. And it's not that there's a fantastic reward waiting in Olam Haba, but we have to furnish the apartment in Olam Haba. It's going to be whatever we put into it. So that's how Rav Moshe Shapiro reconciles these two ideas. The Kli Yakar in Parshat Chukotai brings seven more explanations for why, and he phrases the question a little differently. Why does the Torah only talk about physical rewards and not spiritual rewards? So it's a little broader, whether you call the spiritual reward Olam Hava or Chesamesim, or you call it something else. And he gives, this is in Parshat Chukotai, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Bet, gives seven answers to this question. The first one is from the Rambam. And the Rambam says that the Torah doesn't... The question was, why does the Torah mention physical rewards and not spiritual rewards? The Torah doesn't mention physical rewards either. The Rambam says that when the Torah says, you know, do this and it will rain, do this and your enemies will leave you alone, those are not rewards. Just like we say, schar mitzvah mitzvah, okay, the reward of a mitzvah is to do another mitzvah. Hashem is saying, if you do mitzvos, I will prepare the conditions in which you can do more mitzvos. That's not the reward. It's just, you cooperate with me, I'll cooperate with you. The reward comes later. Torah doesn't talk about reward, because the Torah wants us to do the mitzvos lishma, without the expectation of rewards. The Torah doesn't talk about reward at all. And the rain is not reward, and enemies leaving us alone, that's not reward. So that's the first explanation from the Rambam. He would understand that that's also not reward. A person's allowed to give tzedakah less lishma than other mitzvahs. But that's not necessarily reward either. If you have more money, you'll get more tzedakah. So again, it's enabling you to perform more mitzvahs. The second answer says is from the Ibn Ezra in Parshat Hazinu, and he says that the Torah was given to the masses, and for the most part, the concept of spiritual reward is incomprehensible to the masses, and therefore, Torah doesn't bother mentioning it. Third answer, he says, from Rabbeinu Bechaye Hazaken, which I presume means the Chovos HaLevavos, and he says also the Ibn Ezra and Ramban give similar answers. And that is that the idea of spiritual reward is perfectly logical, sort of the opposite of the previous answer. It's perfectly logical. The neshama is a spiritual being, so of course it's going to get a spiritual reward. It doesn't even have to be mentioned. It's so obvious. The Torah has to mention physical rewards because it's not logical that you do mitzvahs and it will rain. Like, how does that follow? Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that that it follows. Furthermore, the Torah does hint at spiritual rewards, because the Torah says if you do certain averos, you get kares. The soul will be cut off. That tells me if a person doesn't do those averos, the soul won't be cut off. The soul will have a future. So that that is alluding to an existence, a spiritual existence for the soul in the future. The fourth answer, he says that because there are those who deny the concept of hashkacha, of Hashem running the world, watching over the world, they say, yeah, I believe there was a creator, but now he's out of the picture. Hashem doesn't pay any attention to this world. The Torah specifically wanted to address that philosophy and say, no, you do mitzvos, it will rain. You do mitzvos, there will be peace. Your enemies won't bother you. to say Hashem is watching. Hashem is paying attention. Hashem is Hashem, you know, rewards you for your mitzvos and punishes you for your averas. And that's what the Torah specifically needed to address. If the Torah had said, you do mitzvos, there'll be olam haba, the heretics would say, that's easy to say, prove it, right? If you donate $54 to the shul and immediately earn it back, okay, Hashem has proven that he exists and he rewards you for your mitzvahs, right? But if you say, hey, give money to the shul, give tzedakah, and you'll be rewarded in olam haba, the heretics are going to say, the reason it says that is because he knows nobody will be around to see it. So, you know, I don't believe it. So that's why the Torah focuses on material rewards and not spiritual rewards. And that's where he mentions the Kuzari that I mentioned, where the king says to him that the rewards that the other nations, the Muslims and the Christians, believe in, seem better than your rewards. And Kuzari answers, if they really believe it, why aren't they in such a rush to get there? Okay. We, on the other hand, we're not in a rush because we believe that there are rewards in this world and in the next world, and in this world we have the opportunity to earn more and more rewards. The fifth answer, he says, that at the time, and this is from Rav Sadia Gaon and from the Rambam, that at the time the Torah was given, people worshipped idols. People believed this idol will make it rain, this idol will make peace, and so on. And so Hashem had to say, no, idols don't do that. I do that. Keep my mitzvos and those things will happen. That was what Hashem needed to teach that generation. He didn't need to teach them about Olam Haba. That wasn't an issue that needed to be addressed, and therefore Hashem did not address it. It's either it's taken for granted or just wasn't an issue. The sixth answer that the Kli Yakar brings, and this is also from the Kuzari and from Rabbeinu Nisim in his drashos. And he says that the Torah doesn't need to promise me a spiritual reward in the future because there are already spiritual rewards in this world. Torah says, if you follow my ways, I will place my Shekhinah amongst you. There's already Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. He doesn't say this, but Shabbos in Olam Haba. A person can experience Olam Haba in this world. We don't need to be told about it. A person can attach himself to the Shekhinah in this world. We don't need to be told that it will happen in the future, because if it will happen in this world, the future can only be better. But the Torah needs to tell us, again, do mitzvos, it will rain, do mitzvos, there will be peace, and do mitzvos, you'll be healthy, and so on. And the seventh answer is that the rewards promised by the Torah are rewards for the nation as a whole. If it rains, it doesn't rain for me. It rains for everybody. Right? If there's peace, it's not for me, it's for everybody. And that's what the Torah promises. The rewards that are personal, the Torah doesn't talk about them. Because the Torah is not a personal book. The Torah is a book for the nation. And so it focuses on things that relate to the entire nation, and he attributes this answer to this explanation to the Ramban and the Sefer Ikarim. So those are the seven reasons brought by the Kli Yakar why Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. Read a little bit further in the Ein Yaakov. So we are on page Samach Bet, letter Mem Chet. Tana de Be'eliyahu, Tzadikim Shatid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chayotan Inam Chozrim L'Faran. That Tzadikim, that Hashem will bring back to life, will not return to their dust, they will not die. There will not be death after Tchias HaMesim. Shneimar, V'haya HaNishar B'tzion V'Natar B'Yerushalayim Kadosh Ye'amer Lo. Kol HaKatuv L'Chayim B'Yerushalayim. As those who remain in Sion and are left over in Yerushalayim, they will be called holy. All who are written for life in Yerushalayim. Ma kadosh lolam kayam. Just as one who is holy exists forever, that is, exists in Olam Haba. Afhein lolam kayamim. So too, they will exist forever. V'im tomar, and if you'll say, otan shanim, or another gear, so otan elef shanim, those 1,000 years, shatid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chadesh b'ne et olamo, when Hashem will renew the world, shenemar miskav Hashem l'vado v'yamahu, it says Hashem will be left alone on that day. The world will exist for 6,000 years, and then for 1,000 years, it will be renewed, and Hashem alone will exist. So tzadikim ma'im osim, where will the tzadikim be? If there's going to be tchias ha'mesim, and then the earth will be pulled out from under our feet, then where will we be? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu aseh lahem knafayim k'nesharim v'shatim al pnei ha'mayim. Hashem will make wings for them like eagles, and they will float over the water. Shemar alkein lo nirah b'hamir aretz. Says we will not fear when Hashem Hamir, language of Tmurav, exchange. When Hashem exchanges the world, we will not fear. Maybe you'll say that they'll be in pain from having to fly around for 1,000 years. Tamud Lamar, therefore it says, Vikoye Hashem Yachlifu Koch. Okay. The Pasuk, this is a song. And the word is commonly mispronounced. And the Kovei Hashem Yachlifu Koach, the correct pronunciation, if you read after Parshas Lech Lecha, is Vikoyei Hashem Yachlifu Koach. Yalu Ever Kanasharim, they will grow a limb like eagles. Yarutsu Velo Yigau, they will run and not tire. Yalchu Velo Yafu, they will go and not tire. I will leave you in suspense, and we will talk more about this last piece tomorrow. Good day.